Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati and Jake Gutierrez on a glorious day in Kansas City.
Carr from the pocket, and that's going to be picked off at the 29-yard line. And was he down by contact? That's Kendall Fuller, and they are going to say he was.
Impressive. Off to your left-hand side here, you're going to get a chance to see yet another big play by this secondary.
It is a beautiful day. The weather's gorgeous. Just a wonderful day in Kansas City. I've been waiting patiently for this day. And not only does the Patrick Mahomes the second era start, but the Chiefs get a third round pick. They get $60 million in cap room. And they get one of the best young corners in the NFL. Rated the number one slot corner in the NFL by Bleacher Report. Number two by Pro Football Focus. 22 years old. Making less than $1 million in 2018. Less than $1 million in 2019. And Jeff Chedia from NFL.com and NFL Network joins us live from the Super Bowl. Crank that song up! Good morning, Jeff Chedia, live from Minnesota.
How you guys doing there? I was concerned I wasn't going to be able to get in the segment with that intro. I thought you were just going to talk for the next
55
minutes while that song plays.
I might. I've talked for the last 3 hours. I'll keep doing it because I'm so damn happy.
Maybe I'll just start playing highlights for the next hour.
Right. And Mahomes has no chance. He tries to get rid of the ball, and he finds a man at the 35-yard line for a first down. Patrick Mahomes, he was in the grasp of a Denver defender.
Okay. All right, Jeff Chedia.
All right.
Let's start with your reaction when you heard what the details of the trade were.
Well, we obviously were texting, you and I, and Jake were texting last night back and forth about it, and the more the details came out about it, I thought he would be around a third round pick as far as value, but you're talking about getting a quality young cornerback in return, which basically makes it a trade for Kendall Fuller with a third round pick thrown in. You can't ask for a better deal. You know, that's like getting a first round pick. In a sense, because you're getting a proven player who can help you immediately. You have a chance to go out and pursue other free agents now to help your defense. Still not crazy about Bob Sutton running that defense, but as far as offseason goes, and it's not even the offseason yet, they're off to a tremendous start. I mean, I have to give Brett Veach and Andy Reid a lot of credit for how they made this deal happen. And really, you go back, and I'm not trying to talk crap about Adam Teicher because I have a ton of respect for him and he's covered this team forever, but I was really mystified when they, you know, that story which quoting Mark Dominic, the ex-Tampa Bay GM last week, I guess it was, about Alex Smith not having much value on the open market. I always felt like he'd have a lot of teams pursuing him, and now we've seen that was exactly the case.
Yeah, I mean, look, and obviously Adam was quoting a former GM. Maybe that's why he's a former GM now. I don't know. But a lot of people wondered, you know, what Alex Smith's value was going to be. And I think what's been proven now is that Alex Smith was viewed, at least by a handful of teams, very differently than he is by people in this town of Kansas City.
Yeah, and I've always said that. You know, and it's, look, every city you go to in the NFL, there's going to be a very myopic view of the team, the players, and especially the quarterback. And it's if you don't live in Green Bay, you don't live in New England, maybe a handful of other places, New Orleans, you're not going to find that many people who are in love with their quarterbacks. But then you go outside of it, and you're going to find those quarterbacks have a whole different view around the league. And I think Alex Smith falls into that category of a player who, if you were to talk to scouts and GMs and coaches and players, there's a lot of respect for him out there. And I don't think that means people think he's in the same category as Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, or they think he's elite, or they think he's a quarterback that who's going to, as soon as you get him, he's going to change your whole offense and put you over the top. But he is a quarterback you can trust. He is a quarterback that has a proven track record. He is a quarterback who will help you win games and help your locker room. And those things, believe me, are in short supply in the NFL.
Jeff Chedid is our guest. And again, we were all wondering what the return would be. And people had different ideas, different reactions, anywhere from, I've heard some people, it would better be a first-round pick or they shouldn't trade him. Some people thought that they wouldn't be able to get anything. So it was truly all over the board. And that's why I think last night was such a fascinating night to read all the reactions on Twitter. And no one really was overly surprised at the third round pick. But man, Jeff, just universally, everyone is just stunned that Kendall Fuller was in the deal. And I don't know if I've retweeted tweets like from DJ Swearinger, the safety for the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's killing the Redskins, talking about this kid did everything right. His teammates felt like he was the best defender on the Redskins, and maybe the coaches weren't on board with this thing. And look how Fuller found out. He was tweeting out that he was told he wasn't traded, and he was literally the last guy to find out on social media, and I thought he handled it unbelievably well last night. But it's just really surprising that the Chiefs got a 22-year-old ascending corner that is making no money by NFL standards right now to jumpstart this rebuilding of the defense. That's where I'm just astonished at the return that the Chiefs got, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think in many ways this was a situation where they found the right team to work with. And what was there, supposedly as many as 6 teams had interest in Alex. I'm sure that drove the market and made them, put them in a position where they could ask for someone like Kendall Fuller. I also feel as if the Redskins, which we're talking about Kendall Fuller right now, they clearly feel good about what they have at corner without him being there. They spent a lot of money on Josh Norman a couple years ago. I doubt that they were going to want to have to pay him that kind of money. Rashard Breeland was a starting cornerback for them. He's a guy they like a lot, and so they're going to have to pay him at some point. I doubt that they were going to start investing all this money in cornerbacks. So, yes, it is surprising that they got a player who has such upside, but I also feel like the Redskins were in a position where they could say, well, we can afford to get him away because we got to get the quarterback situation right. And it always made me laugh as much as we talked about what Alex was costing the Chiefs. The Redskins' situation with Kirk Cousins is such a disaster, or became such a disaster, such an embarrassment, that had to be priority number one for them as far as resolving it. And so now they can feel better about moving forward knowing that they have an option at quarterback that they like. They can let Kirk Cousins walk. They don't have to worry so much about what they're going to do now. They could have signed him. For what they paid Alex, they could have signed him to that a couple years ago. But because they didn't want to buy into him, didn't want to believe in him, it got to a place where they ended up paying him something like, whatever it was, $55 million or $50 million over the last 2 years, and they had to let him walk.
So we're wondering, how does Alex Smith fit in Gruden's system? You know, because he was a perfect fit. He was what Andy Reid wanted here. What kind of a fit is he going to be in Washington?
Well, they do a lot of the same stuff offensively. I mean, Gruden has a lot of those principles in his offense, and Obviously, John Gruden is his brother, and he likes running the West Coast offense. So I don't think that's going to be a big change for Alex. There'll be a step down in terms of the supporting cast on offense because they don't have the same type of talent there that he has here, especially in terms of, you know, the tight end, a receiver like Tyreek Hill. They've got decent running backs, but they don't have somebody who you would say is on the same par as a Kareem Hunt. So he's not going to have those, but he will have a pretty good defense, and he will be in a division where he's going to be expected to make plays. Now, this is, you look around that division with Dak Prescott, with Carson Wentz, Eli Manning is still to be decided in New York, but he's still, in my mind, a quality quarterback. You better have somebody who can make plays for you, but also take care of the football, also play to the defense. I honestly, the more I think about it, he might end up playing a lot in the same way he did in the first 3-4 years he was here, just trying to make sure he manages the game and that defense plays up to its capacity.
What do you think about the contract extension and the amount of money, $70 million guaranteed for this four-year, $94 million extension the Redskins sign Alex Smith to? I mean, giving up a third-round pick and then giving up a young defender, a good ascending young defender like Kendall Fuller, they had to sign Alex Smith to some type of extension. They couldn't just trade that for 1 year of Alex Smith. But what about the level of commitment in this extension for the Redskins?
Well, that didn't really surprise me as much because they were going to have to make some kind of commitment for him to come there in the first place if he wasn't going to agree to be there long-term and he didn't see a future there and he didn't see a commitment that he liked, the deal wouldn't have happened. They would have been renting a player for a year and he would have gone somewhere else. So that doesn't surprise me. And the money doesn't really surprise me because we're talking about quarterbacks. Again, as much as we've talked about what Alex was making here and what he's worth and people saying what he should be paid and what his value is, quarterbacks get paid a lot of money. And you look at what he was being paid this past year compared to other quarterbacks in the league, the last couple of years, he's been around middle of the road, like 15th or 16th. And so he was going to get a raise wherever he went, and that raise was going to be somewhere in the $20-plus million a year range. And, you know, we talk about what he's making now. I guarantee you Kirk Cousins is going to be close to 30 by the time this all plays out, $30 million a year, because that's just the way the market is.
Who would you rather have? Alex Smith at his contract or Kirk Cousins at that contract number you just put out there?
I've always said I like Alex better, and I'm on the record about that. I know Jake and I have gone back and forth, and you and he have gone back and forth with the numbers and the stats and everything else. I feel like in this league you can generate a lot of big numbers. Just the way the league is geared now, you can throw for 4,000 yards, 4,500 yards, 30 TDs, and it doesn't matter as much as being able to help your team win games. And that's the knock I have on Kirk Cousins, and I guarantee you that's a knock the Redskins have on him. They did not see him as somebody who could get them into the playoffs, let alone win a playoff game, get them there consistently. And until he's able to change that perception, I think that he's going to end up having the same kind of reaction that Alex Smith has had here by some people, which is to say, look at what he doesn't do instead of what he does do. I like him. I like a lot of things that Kirk Cousins does, and I got to know him a little bit over the last couple of years from being in Washington and doing some games over there. But again, you look at his record compared to Alex over the last couple of years, it's not even close in terms of how many games his teams have won.
Okay. Another, I think, interesting aspect of this deal is, like you mentioned, Adam Schefter's reporting up to six teams were interested. But yesterday, Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns, does a great job. She was answering questions and had said that she thought the Browns would, what she was hearing, they were going to pursue a trade for Alex Smith and then draft a quarterback to work under him, number one overall. And so then last night, she reported that the Browns did make an offer for Alex Smith. Benjamin Albright this morning tweeted out that the Browns were aggressive in trying to get Alex Smith. And some people were saying that Alex Smith was not interested in going to the Browns. And you kind of heard that if you heard the comments he had on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. He kind of mocked the Cleveland Browns. And so there's plenty of evidence there to suggest that the Chiefs accommodated Alex Smith by sending him someplace other than Cleveland. For Alex Smith, Is he better off in Washington as opposed to Cleveland? And did the Chiefs do the right thing by including his wishes? Because who knows? I don't know if the Browns' deal was better. They had plenty to trade. But is that wise for the Chiefs to maybe take a different deal and possibly turn down a better deal based on what Alex Smith wanted?
I always felt, and I believe we talked about this a few weeks back, maybe after the year ended, that Andy, given his relationship with Alex, would sit down with Alex and talk about what Alex wanted. I never felt like it would just be Andy in a room with Brett Veach saying, all right, what do we have here? Let's find the best deal, let him go. I feel like Andy Reid has a lot of respect for Alex Smith. I think they have a great relationship and that he wanted to do right by him in a lot of ways by making sure he was going to be happy with where he went. And I don't know if – I think all those teams that had interest in him probably were willing to step up and pay him the kind of money he got paid on some level. If you get in those waters pursuing a quarterback, you're going to understand the cost that comes with it. But I do feel like if a quarterback, if any player has been good to you and has given you what you need and is in a position to be happy somewhere else, you should listen to him. And so, yeah, I definitely think Andy sat down with Alex and discussed this. And I certainly understand why Alex wouldn't want to go to Cleveland, because they're, as much as they have to work with in terms of draft picks and salary cap space, it's going to take some time. And I don't know if Alex Smith at age 33 wants to be involved in another rebuilding project. And, you know, I will say this, that it is interesting when we think about those comments when Bob Sutton was retained that Andy Reid gave to Terrence Paylor, which is a great story. And Terrence Paylor's had a pretty good run here the last couple of weeks in terms of breaking stories, by the way, so hats off to him. But, you know, Andy made that sort of like offhanded comment about you saw how it worked out as far as not benching Alex Smith. And just think about, are you still getting this deal if he does bench Alex Smith? Is this deal still going to be as big as it is? So I think a lot of ways people were reading into what Andy was saying. And I think Andy was saying, look, I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty safe. But this move I made with this guy is going to work out in the end.
And now the Patrick Mahomes era begins in Kansas City. There's a quote that's being thrown around on Twitter from Mike Golick, Stephen's guy, who said, quote, Patrick Mahomes didn't play his rookie year barely at all. There's no chance on God's green earth that Mahomes comes in next year and lights it up. Do you think that's true? No chance?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say there's no chance. I mean, there's certainly a pretty good chance if you believe what you've been hearing out of the Chiefs and you've seen the kid play at all. You see the talent. You see the ability. You see the supporting cast. You know that. You know, the way that they played last year, he's going to fit into what they want to do as far as going down the field and being aggressive. So I think there's a chance. But I also I'm a lot more leery of buying into any quarterback until they're actually playing. So while I believe that Patrick Mahomes has got a great future here and is going to do good things, I also feel like he's going to struggle at times. And that's, those struggles may come next year. Even look at what Deshaun Watson did in the short time he played this past year before he got hurt. And he did some great things, but his teams lost a lot of games he played great in. He did great things against the Chiefs and they lost. He did great things against the Seahawks and they lost. I think Patrick Mahomes will put up big numbers, but there might be some games they end up losing just because maybe the defense doesn't play as well, or maybe he makes a mistake that costs them. I mean, that's what happens with young quarterbacks.
And here's the other thing that we really haven't said. Who gives a rat's ass what Mike Golick says? I mean, really, about anything.
What it really comes down to, yeah.
About anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure about anything. Who could possibly care what Mike Golick says about any possible thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's just an off-the-cuff, like, my experience in the NFL tells me that. I'm sure it's not based on any kind of scouting or looking at tape or talking to people around the league. That's just a guy on the radio. I agree with you. It's just a guy. But it's just, that's kind of what we've come to, I think, as far as covering sports and talking about sports. It's just everything so knee-jerk and hardcore take, and I'm on this side, so you're going to be on that side of it. Why can't we just let the guy play and see what he becomes?
Let me ask you this question. Who are the most exciting young quarterbacks in the AFC that are poised to step in, because at some point Tom Brady will get old. I don't know if it's 5 years from now or whenever.
Oh.
But, like, you know, and Ben Roethlisberger at some point will get old. Where would you put Patrick Mahomes in terms of that? I mean, there's got to be a new wave of quarterbacks in the AFC at some point that are going to excite people.
Well, okay, so Deshaun Watson.
Right.
There's one. Marcus Mariota. You have to consider him a good, exciting young quarterback.
I mean, Andrew Luck, if he comes back healthy, he's going to be in that mix.
Tommy Carr.
Derek Carr is in that mix. I'm trying to think of who would be up.
Blake Bortles? You know,
he's got possibilities. I don't write off guys just because they have bad years or struggle or whatever. I think that it's such – that's the thing. That's what I'm saying, that there's – it's such a process. And we just want guys to come out and set the world on fire and be great from day one and then go right to the Hall of Fame. And I don't think it really works that way. I think – look at Jameis Winston. What happened to him this past year? You know, it's like he had a pretty good year last year. Thought that team was poised to make a big run, and they end up winning five games. You know, Marcus Mariota, same thing. Like, he looks good, and he's growing and maturing, and he throws 13 touchdowns and 15 picks. It's going to happen. Derek Carr. I think right now you're looking at a handful of guys that we just mentioned, but.
One name that we did leave out in that group, Paxton Lynch.
No.
But hey, that's a great point. 2 years ago, Paxton Lynch, people were saying, he's booming again. Why couldn't they make the move to get this guy? Look, what's John Dorsey and Andy Reid doing? We need to have – he had a chance at him. I saw him play his first game against Tampa. And people were saying, he's going to be the next big thing. Look how poised he is, and they won the game, and yeah, nobody wants him now. And so that's how fast it can change for these guys. So, you know, to your point about Patrick, I hope he's great. I hope it works out for him, but I'm also I've been doing this job long enough to know that times are going to get tough at some point, and that's when you're going to find out what he's really made of. And to be honest with you, that's why I've always respected Alex in the way I do, because to come out of those tough times and be successful, most guys don't do that.
Right, and you're saying this because you're experienced, you've been around many NFL teams, and you're smart because it's right, it's correct. And for the people that are already dismissing Patrick Mahomes, and we had somebody with a strongman argument, well, everyone's saying Mahomes is going to come and lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl in year one. Nobody's saying that. But if you if you've cornered yourself into rooting against Patrick Mahomes, if you've already predicted that Alex Smith will come back next year, then you're going to say those outlandish things to try to support your argument, okay?
Yeah.
And so because you have no other, you've boxed yourself in. You have no other place to go. But for the people that understand the NFL and understand quarterbacks, yes, absolutely. There's no guarantee. He could be really, really good. He could come in and light things up. He could also come in and struggle. He could come in. It could take a year or two before he lights things up. It's all on the table. That's quarterbacks. That's the NFL. But guess what? It's been 40 years. I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. Let's go. I'll take the chance because the Chiefs have never taken that chance in my lifetime, and that's why they haven't gone to the Super Bowl. One of the big reasons why. Let's see it. Let's find out. All right? I'm good.
He could also walk into a situation where he's not asked to do too much. We have seen young quarterbacks come in and have success in those situations. He's got the league's leading rusher coming into his second year on the team. You know, I mean, that could be a factor as well.
We've got Jeff Chedia on the team right now, live from the Super Bowl, back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Great day to be a Chiefs fan. Great day in Kansas City. Great day to talk to Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff Chedia, where do you think Kirk Cousins will land now?
That's a great question. He is, like Alex, going to have a lot of interest once he gets once he becomes free in March. And there's a lot of teams that have the salary cap space to accommodate what he's going to demand. I look at the New York Jets as an option. You know, they obviously need a quarterback, and they stripped down their roster last year to create some salary cap space. The Browns are going to be in play here for the same reason they wanted Alex. Denver, I would think, would be the front runner here, given that John Elway has still a team that has playoff capabilities. Arizona didn't have the same type of salary cap space. They don't have a quarterback right now at all on the roster. And then I think a wild card here could be Minnesota, because all their quarterbacks are free agents right now. Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford. And if they don't want to stick around there, then Kirk Cousins could be a pretty attractive fit as well. So if I had to pick one of those right now, I'd go with Denver, just because I think that makes the most sense for him, and he's going to have the best chance to win quickly.
Do you think how good do the Denver Broncos become if they acquire him?
Well, I think they'll be in the mix there. It's hard to say. He'll be better than what they've had, which makes them pretty dangerous. If you look at the way Trevor Siemian played last year and down the stretch when they really started going south, that if they just had a quarterback who could be Alex Smith-like and take care of the football and manage a game consistently, they would have been in much better shape. So there's still a lot of good things in Denver on the offensive side of the football with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, C.J. Anderson. You know, they have things you like. Defense has still got a lot of the key players that helped them win a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I think he puts them right back in the mix, makes them easily a playoff contender again.
But I think I love your idea of Minnesota, because if you're the Vikings, why not? All these other quarterbacks that you have are free agents. They're projected to have over $50 million in cap room right now. And then you've got Dalvin Cook coming back, who was looked like he was going to be just a dynamic running back for them before he got hurt early on. If you add Kirk Cousins to Minnesota, I don't see why you wouldn't make them one of, if not the favorite, to win the NFC. I mean, the salary cap, and if you're Kirk Cousins, you can get paid like you want to, and you could step right into a Super Bowl caliber team, and you're getting that running back back. I think, boy, that would be, for me, that'd be a no-brainer for Minnesota to chase Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and the only reason I don't pick them as the front runner instead of Denver is that I just don't know within the building how they're going to view the quarterbacks who are free agents right now. I know Mike Zimmer loves Teddy Bridgewater, and everybody in that franchise loves Teddy Bridgewater. And he was supposed to be their franchise quarterback before he got hurt a couple years ago. And the big question there is, can you trust him to be on the same track as a player he was before he got hurt? He wasn't on path to be, you know, Dan Fouts or anything like that, because they are pretty conservative offensively as well. But a lot of respect for that guy in the building, Case Keenum, the year he just had for them. It's hard to walk away from a player who was that successful for you and helped you get to the NFC title game. And Zimmer isn't as big a fan of Keenum as he is Teddy Bridgewater. I think he questions his arm strength and the ability to make all the throws you want to have a guy make. But again, that team won 13 games largely because Case Keenum was the quarterback. Now, I'm saying Bradford's going to be gone, but I just don't know what they're going to do with those other two guys. And those other two guys are going to be much cheaper options than what Kirk Cousins is going to be.
What do you think is going to happen with Case Keenum? Has he made himself into an attractive, like, is some team going to say, you know what, we can win with Case Keenum, let's throw him some money?
Well, I think he's in the same category as our favorite quarterback to talk about on this show, Nick Foles. I think they're both in that category of they've done enough to prove that they're better than what people thought they were, but are they good enough to where people are going to make a serious commitment to them? And are they going to be okay with not being in the same class as far as salary as some of the other people that are around the NFL? And that's always the big question here, because I certainly feel like Keenum is going to have a market, Foles is going to have a market, but it's going to be a lot lower than what Alex Smith got paid. And is that enough to get something done? I don't know. But he'll be a starter somewhere in the NFL next year, because he just showed he can win in the NFL.
Jeff Chedia from NFL Network is our guest. All right, so the Chiefs have, we could have cap room. They have acquired a corner that's going to help the defense. What is the now? What's next on the shopping list? What do you think is the Chief, should be the Chiefs' number one target? Or and you can give us a couple of them. Next up to try to improve this football team around Patrick Mahomes.
It's got to be pass rusher. They've got to go out and find somebody who they know can help them get after the quarterback. Because whatever Bob Sutton's going to do schematically, we don't know. I think the trust as far as the public isn't there, given how every other caller I hear on your show is always talking about how Justin Houston is always dropping back in the pass coverage. They're going to have to find somebody who makes life easier for Justin Houston. Before coming back, look, I never trust guys with back injuries. And so I don't know what he's going to be able to give you. If he's closer to the guy who got 10 sacks 2 years ago, great. But I don't know if that's really something to really bet big on. So I would look to see them go out and get a pass rusher. And given what they might have in free agency as far as salary cap space, once they make the move on Tom Bahali, which should happen, we'll see what happens with Derrick Johnson and some other moves they can make. But DeMarcus Lawrence is out there in Dallas, and he's coming up on the market. And I don't know if the Cowboys are going to franchise him or not, but he's going to be the top pass rusher on the market. With what they might have with salary cap space, with the cap going up as well, I'm sure they could be a player for him if he's not franchised. I think if you look into the draft, I don't know exactly. I don't know if it's a great year for pass rushers. Last year seemed to be a lot better. But I wouldn't mind seeing them getting another cornerback, to be honest with you. I mean, if they're going to really beef up this defense, go out and find another guy who can cover for you. You know, if you're able to play Fuller inside or outside with you and Steven Nelson comes back, another young corner is not going to hurt the cause. So that as well. And then on offense, another receiver wouldn't hurt. The more weapons you can get Patrick Mahomes, they're not going to do anything on the offensive line because that seems like a pretty stable unit. But I'd like to see another receiver for Mahomes and maybe a second tight end. Who actually play tight end?
Well, man, nice, now you're
nice thing as well.
Don't act silly.
Am I dreaming now? Am I dreaming?
You're pushing the damn envelope. I can promise
you
that.
Let's just take it down a notch.
Right.
Ricardo Montalban and Hervé Villechaize went to the island and said, "Just give me a second tight end." Is that too much to ask?
It seems like it, but hey, I'd love it. That would be an outstanding, I think, addition for the Chiefs offense.
So who do you think gets the most credit for this trade itself? Can we give the credit to Veach? Is this Andy Reid? Like, where does the credit go?
I think it's a tandem deal. I think everything those guys do is in tandem. I don't think Veach is sitting there saying, "Hey, Andy, I got this great move. I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on it." And Andy's just like, "Okay, go ahead and do it." And nor do I think Andy's just coming to him and saying, "Go get this guy," not having a discussion about it. It seemed like they have a pretty good relationship, working relationship, and I'm sure there's a lot of discussion about what they see and what they want to do. But I will say that I am seeing an obvious pattern here develop with them going after players who were probably scouted by someone like Brett Veach, when he was not in this role, and then saying, "Hey, this guy's available, we can get him." So they seem to be going after guys that they have a history of researching already that they like, as opposed to maybe getting excited about somebody who they've seen the last year or two on the field. And that's smart in a lot of ways too. I mean, the more you know about a player, the more likely you are to go get him. I mean, you look at Kendall Fuller; he was, until he got hurt coming out of college, he was perceived as being a first round pick. Reggie Ragland was in the same boat, where he was supposed to be a first round pick. He fell to second because he had a knee injury. They are certainly making moves on players they feel were undervalued coming out, who are still undervalued now because they fell in the draft.
What's your day look like at the Super Bowl? What's on the schedule?
Cold.
Yes.
Cold and more cold. today is the big commissioner's press conference, so we carry it live on our air, and so I'll be on set doing some pre-conference analysis with Andrew Kramer and Mike Silver and Judy Batista starting at noon, and then we'll do the commissioner's press conference at 1, and then we'll come back after and discuss some of the stuff and It should be a pretty lively press conference because this has probably been the most challenging year that he's ever had in his reign, and probably of any commissioner in recent memory that I can think of, because this is, you think about the social activism and domestic violence and all the ownership stuff, the extension, the concussions, and everything else that's come up. You know, it's a lot of stuff on any guy's plate.
What's the big party this year that you're going to go to?
You know, I'm actually locating it this year. I'm, my girlfriend's flying in today, and we're going to do a lot of, smaller events. And I think last year I went to, on Saturday night, I went to a poker party that was hosted by Rob Riggle and I think Michael Phelps and a bunch of celebrities, Common and people like that were out there playing poker. And so it was in a mansion. I kind of liked the idea of being in a smaller space. So I'm trying to do more things like that. My agent is part of a conglomerate of agents. They're throwing a little party in town, so I'll go there on Thursday. Buddy of mine, Mike Silver, who works with me, he's throwing a big party with Carissa Thompson tonight that I will go to, and then we've got a couple parties on Friday night to do, and then I'm actually going to go to NFL Honors for the first time. I've never gone to the award show and always kind of passed it up because I had a bunch of people I was running with, but going to get all dressed up and go there and watch Rob Riggle again, hosting the event.
You know, I don't know if anyone cares, but I'll ask you anyway, since you are at the Super Bowl, what's your official prediction now between the Patriots and the Eagles?
You know, I've been going back and forth with this since we had that conversation last week about Nick Foles, because Jake was so committed, and it just made me think, man, could I pick against somebody that Jake believes that much in? And
right.
I feel like I got burned last week going with Jacksonville because I was so believing in their magic. I'm going to pick the Eagles in the upset, just on your air. I think I picked them somewhere else in print,
so
but I'm picking the Eagles because right now I'm feeling like...
Attaboy, you know, Jeff. Yes.
Jake's a happy man. Alex Smith is out of town.
Yes.
If there is like a daily double that Jake is going to hit, it is seeing Alex Smith traded and seeing Nick Foles win the Super Bowl in the same 5-day span.
Oh.
So I'm going to go there and try to support Jake on this one.
Double up, catch up, Jeff.
How much money did Jake pay you, by the
way? Checks in the mail.
What has he promised you? I don't, was it money, something else? I need to find out.
It was a whole Lincoln.
No, just a smile. He just said, I'm going to give you a smile. Jake really smiles when I'm in there. It's usually, he's the anti-Gary Lezak. You know, he's always sort of with this, sort of like feeling down and bummed and cynical. And even you saw in the text message last night, Alex got traded. We'll see what he gets.
Right. Like I told you, he denied. He denied being negative earlier. Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
No, he was taking a dump over everything.
This segment's over.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just gotta go.
I don't think so.
Hey, one thing I love about Jake is if he's got a stance on something, he's taking that stance until he absolutely has no other choice.
Oh yeah, I'm the last guy on the Titanic, man.
Yeah, so we'll see what draft picks they got. Third round pick. We'll see what player they got.
See what kind of value they get.
Hey, got the best cover. Got the best slot corner in football. Well, I don't know.
Can he play outside? Can they move him to the outside?
How old is he? 22.
We'll see what they get with that third round.
How much is he making? Less than $1 million. Well, I don't know about that.
How many years left?
Jeff, enjoy your stay.
I love it.
We'll look forward to seeing you back in KC. All right, man.
All right, guys. Have fun. Enjoy your Alex Smith trade talk.
It's going to be a fun week. You know what? I've been strutting up and down the hallways like the Gates logo, just with a bag, just walking. I've got a cane and a big hat, just strutting around here. Thank you very much.
Yelling at people. Can I help you?
That's right. Oh, I've been helped. Thank you very much, Jeff. That is Jeff Jadia live from the Super Bowl. Boy, this 4 hours... flew by. Got one more segment to wrap things up on WHB.